Now, Iran's military admitted over the weekend to shooting down a passenger airliner last week, saying it mistakenly thought the plane was a cruise missile. The news is a major reversal after government leaders had said the plane crashed after technical malfunctions. And now that admission has led to more street protests in Iran, with 82 Iranians among the dead from the crash. Ishan Tharoor writes about foreign policy, geopolitics, and history for the Washington Post's Today Worldview. Ishan, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with this news about the airliner. What would you tell us about this reversal from the Iranian government about shooting down that plane?
Well, it was a stunning admission. That took place over the weekend. The Iranians, after spending a couple of days essentially denying and obfuscating any direct role in the crash, when it became very clear that they would have a very hard time hiding what happened, essentially that their own air defense system took down this passenger jet, they were compelled to basically come out in the open and admit to it. And of course, as you've seen in the past 3 days, we've seen 3 days of very heated protests in Iranian cities over this. It's blown open and hold the lid all over again of a kind of huge seething amount of frustration that you see among ordinary Iranians with the regime.
And this, I know for a lot of us who woke up one morning last week to hear about the strikes that Iran had done on a couple bases in Iraq where U.S. forces were housed, and then also in the same newscast to hear about this airliner crashing and the horrible loss of life. I'm guessing that because tensions were so high, that it was probably more likely in that small window that the airliner might have been mistaken with human error as a missile in retaliation.
And that's indeed what seems to have happened. What people are really upset about was that the Iranian authorities, especially the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, this very powerful military organization that dominates large sectors of the country, and that was coordinating the what they say was a retaliatory response, this missile barrage on U.S. bases in Iraq, which in their mind was retaliation for the killing of Qasem Soleimani that took place last week. In their view, what should have happened was that the Iranians should have grounded civilian transport at this point in time. They should have had protocols in place where such a tragedy couldn't take place. And instead, what you saw was a pretty bungled management of a system, a mistake made by a particular person in charge of a missile battery, and a really awful tragedy that led to dozens of Iranian deaths, dozens of Canadian deaths, and a genuine international tragedy.
And looking at the Iranian people, the Iranian public, it seems that first they were protesting the U.S. for the strikes against Soleimani, and then a week later protesting their own government over this and other issues. Give us a sense of what's going on with the Iranian public right now.
Well, it's a pretty dizzying time, but you can at once feel nationalism and patriotism about a man like Qasem Soleimani, who, of course, though he's seen by the U.S. as a real villain, was a rather popular icon of quote-unquote resistance to many Iranians. And you can at one time feel sympathy and support for his legacy, and at the same time also feel genuine frustration with the regime that he represents. And what you're seeing in the past few months, remember, of course, in November, there were huge rounds of protests after sparked initially by a cut to fuel subsidies and raising prices. But that really, that blew over. You saw that there is a tremendous amount of frustration with the regime. There is, of course, a lot of nationalistic pride in Iran nonetheless. And these things operate in tandem. So while, of course, we saw, potentially millions on the streets last week in honor of Soleimani, that doesn't mean that each of those people who went out there aren't also frustrated with the state of affairs within Iran. And the Iranian regime, whatever goodwill or whatever kind of national unity they may have found in the wake of Soleimani's killing, they squandered that immediately with this really horrific accident in shooting down this passenger jet. And at the same time, you're seeing it, a lot of Iranians are fed up with the regime, are fed up with a regime that that has led to a certain kind of brain drain. You know, one of the fascinating things about what we're seeing right now is that a lot of the Iranians who died in the crash were very intelligent, educated students going overseas. And there is this kind of frustration in the country about a regime that keeps them hostage to its pretty strict draconian laws, to its kind of relative international isolation, and the death of these Iranian students going abroad almost kind of, you know, really hammers home the certain plight and alienation many Iranians feel.
We're talking right now with Ishan Tharoor. He writes about foreign affairs, geopolitics, and history for The Washington Post's Today's World View. We are talking about the most recent developments in Iran. And I want to turn to comments from President Trump this week that are getting some attention. This was about what the Trump administration has called an imminent attack that Iran was planning that ultimately led to the killing of General Qasem Soleimani. Here's Trump in an interview with Laura Ingraham on Fox last week talking about what locations that specific attack was targeting.
But Baghdad certainly would have been the lead, but I think it would have been four embassy, could have been military bases, could have been a lot of other things too. But it was imminent, and then all of a sudden, he was gone.
On the other hand, on CBS yesterday, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper told Margaret Brennan he hadn't seen specific evidence to support that statement. Here's a listen to that.
Well, the president didn't say there was a tangible, he didn't cite a specific piece of evidence. What he said is he believed.
Are you saying there wasn't one?
I didn't see one with regard to four embassies. What I'm saying is I share the president's view that probably my expectation was they were going to go after our embassies.
Ishan, can you sort this out for us? It starts sounding very specific and then gets a lot less specific.
Well, I mean, President Trump himself has seemed to have sorted it out for us today with a tweet where he said, quote, it doesn't really matter the question of whether it was imminent or not because Qasem Soleimani had a horrible past. So from what we know and from the whole fact pattern of reporting that my colleagues and outlets elsewhere have dug up in the wake of the attack on Soleimani that killed Soleimani, what's very clear is that President Trump, once he learned of Soleimani's existence, had entertained for quite some time the prospect of taking him out in a surgical strike. This is something that has been on his mind for a while. It's been discussed in various elements of the administration, and there is a growing consensus, at least amongst experts who've been watching this and tracking this all together, that. The question of imminence is really quite fuzzy. And Soleimani, of course, is a known entity. He's an incredibly shadowy but also very public figure in the sense that he's was the well-known figurehead of Iran's foreign operations, at least in the Middle East. He was somebody who was in a leadership role coordinating Iranian activities. This is all known. We don't know, and it doesn't seem particularly clear from what the administration is telling folks, what implicitly he was, or what particularly he was coordinating that would have posed an imminent threat. And it certainly seems clear now that the administration isn't so sure of it's themselves, given Esper's rather dramatic admission yesterday. And Trump's admission today that it shouldn't really matter if it was imminent or not seems to suggest that this is a strike he wanted to do no matter what, and that he sees benefit for the United States both on the international stage by taking out Soleimani, and I think probably more importantly for President Trump, this is a kind of election year win that he hopes to be touting in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, Ishan, as you said, a lot going on, kind of a dizzying pace. Thanks for bringing us up to speed.
My pleasure.
That was Ishan Tharoor, a foreign affairs writer for The Washington Post's Today's World View. He was with us to talk about the latest news coming out of Iran after the government admitted to accidentally shooting down a passenger airliner last week. It killed all of the nearly 180 civilians on board.